SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Creeping in the 2 o'clock hour, Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh on the Sports Grid Network. This is Moneyline, 7-0 Reds lead, 7-1, 7-2, 7-3, 7-4 now. So we'll keep an eye on that one. JP, plays? Come on, give it to us.
We're rocking with the Golden State Warriors -4 today at -110.
Boom, there it was. Knew it. Love it. I love it. Just playing smart basketball here, K-Dub, is what we call that. You take the better team. You say, your best player's out. My team is better. I think we win the game. Don't worry about the line. I think it's smart business.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I understand it. It's, man, I don't know. I can't line them up, though. I can't quit this Memphis team. I'd rather bet Memphis tonight. I would. They've earned that for me. They've earned that deal, right? Didn't they show it a little bit in game? Do you feel like they missed their opportunity? Is that what it is? They missed their chance to steal one?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, game one, you're a real close game. You should be able to take one down, and you had a game the other night. Man. You should have closed out. You don't get second-chance efforts against good basketball teams. It's the same way with the Philadelphia 76ers. You don't have Joel Embiid. It's not your fault you don't have him. He got injured, but you could have won one of those first two games in Miami, and it's completely different. When you burn your spot against a good basketball team, sometimes these things happen. It is the 2 o'clock hour. We do have JP's picks already in. Let's get to the hotlines out here on the Sports Grid Network. And a guy that's consistently giving away, almost looks like he was going to be a billionaire last night, the X-Man from Virginia. What is the daily update for us today?
Good afternoon.
There you go.
Hey.
Welcome in. What do you got?
I'm proud of the WNBA. I gave y'all the plus money last night to Indiana Fever for the people. And I'm coming back with more WNBA. Gotta do it.
What do we got tonight? Go ahead. Fire.
We got the Seattle Storm at the Phoenix Mercury. No Brittany Griner. We going Seattle Storm and Jewel Lloyd. Let's go. And we going Los Angeles Sparks at the Atlanta Dream. Atlanta Dream, the worst team in the league. They had the first pick in the draft, but that's not enough. The Sparks going to dominate them. Let's go.
All right. Kev, how do you like that? Going against Griner. Going against Griner. Yeah,
I like it. Listen, I mean, look, there's a big motivation angle there. A lot of people are saying it. Not just me. A lot of people are saying that there's a big motivation angle there. But I got to say, last night, X-Men with a get-in, get-out special on the Aces, I believe it was.
That was nice.
So win a first half. They won the first half by 13. They lost the game by 13. I mean, you figure that out. So, X-Men, that was some good stuff by you.
The Mystics are a pretty good team. They're actually number two in the rankings. And I knew that the Aces was going to give them a good game.
Worked out that way, certainly. By the way, X-Men, quickly here. Yeah. WNBA futures market. Aces +320, yeah. Sun +430, Sky +500, Storm 5-1, Phoenix Mercury 6-1. Aces taking this? Like, what are we looking at early season here as a favorite?
The Aces. They got Plum at the guard position, Gray at the guard position, and Asia at the center. They're the best team. Las Vegas Aces.
There you go, K-Dub, +320 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Get involved. The X-Man always, as we say, Kevin, what do we say here on the network with X-Man? X is going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. And he just gave it to you. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, a phrase that you created, most people know.
True.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people.
Publishing rights for me.
That's TM, right underneath. Right underneath it there, man. I tell you this, though. If you're out there, be like X-Man. I mean, give us a call. I mean, we're here. It's a Wednesday. It's a beautiful Dynamite Wednesday. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Give us a call. 844. Ooh, can I remember? 844-843-6879.
That is it. Right? That is exactly it here. And by the way, we're taking all phone calls tonight. Like, if you want to call in and talk some smack. If you want to call in and you have a wager that you need to get out to the people in the airwaves, or if you want to call in and you have spoilers tonight for AEW, we're taking every phone call possible across the market. If you have inside info on the main event tonight, how long it's going and who's going to be doing what, this is why. This is what we need. Because I don't, quite honest, I don't have time to watch AEW tonight. So if anybody out there can read it match by match on how they finish and the high points of the match, I'll listen to that for a couple minutes, Kevin. I will.
I mean, you're not popping it on at 8 o'clock to see this.
Now, what like Hangman tonight? Wins? Hangman wins by disqualification. Like, if that was the truth, like, would you be upset by that, knowing that?
Why wouldn't I be done?
Like, that's awesome. I can't wait to watch this to see how the disqualification goes down. Same thing.
Remember when you went to the Sixer game?
Yeah.
Remember when you went? We're like, hey, man, just so you know, that final
would have loved it.
101.
Oh, I would have loved it.
101-83 Sixer. Just so you know.
Would have bet it.
Point of going to that.
Would have bet it, enjoyed it, watched all my money. I would have told everybody in my section. You know where I'm from. You know the network I'm on. Here's the final score. Holler at me after this game's over. I'm loving it. I am loving that. So that's how I would play it off. But I'm telling you, you can't let three high points, two false finishes, and a disqualification. Let Kevin know. Save him some time tonight. Let him get some sleep for once out here, people. Spoilers are what we live for right here on Moneyline. If you want to spoil anything in Kevin's life, you can dial this number, 844-843-6879. We got NBA action to get to, and we are going to get to it right after the break, right here on the grid. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get to it right here on Moneyline on a Wednesday afternoon. Donnie and Kevin, I feel it's time to talk some lists out here, Kevin. And you did track one down here that was quite interesting that brought a few things to my attention. Explain yourself to the people out here.
Now, we want to talk about the greatest running back list in the history of mankind. Listen, it's a top 25 NFL running backs of all time. Now, you're on the radio side, so you can just get in on the fun here. Man, first of all, this thing has a photo of Barry Sanders, no problem, and a photo of Ron Day Barber, not Tiki. Tremendous. There's no Tom Wilson. Mark Ingram is 25th for no reason. Mike Asselot checks in at 10. The list is ridiculous. That is the point. People are getting mad. Shout out JY, who got mad and quote tweeted me with a "Where is Curtis Martin?" and added Curtis Martin, by the way, in the process there. So let me just say, man, who, by the way, hasn't tweeted in almost 2 years. I don't think he's going to tweet JY back. But, man, what a hilarious, hilarious list that is. Top 25 running backs of all time.
Pretty good. Pretty good there with Rondé out here getting busy at running back. Didn't know he played DB and running back at the same time. But it is a great list because the best part about it is it's like top 25. So you have the list like, you know, 1 through 12. And then you have like 25, which is Mark Ingram, which is like offset. So it's like the name you notice more than anybody else's name just makes that absolutely sensational. I don't know where the list actually came from. There's some very good running backs on the list. And quite frankly, probably nailed the top three, maybe even top four at this point. But the fact that you got like sneaking Mike Alstott in there at 10, sensational work by this guy.
Man. Now are you a Barry number one guy if you got your pick of the litter?
Yes.
Ooh, by far.
By far, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, there should be a lot of slander on Emmett. I used to like when Emmett Smith was getting closer to the record, because the one thing we always thought, like, Barry Sanders never cared about what the record actually was, left the game early when, you know, if he takes a couple more handoffs, he's the all-time record holder, and basically said, you know what, it's not that big of a deal to me, and I love the fact that Walter Payton, one of my heroes, is going to stay number one. And Emmett Smith goes, yeah, I hear you. I'm going to play 30 years to get that, and then you're going to call me the best running back of all time, which nobody calls Emmett Smith the best running back of all time, which I do think I get a kick out of it.
Well, the other thing too, like, you'll notice on this list at five, and again, it's where, like, the, you know, the jokes and nonsense is Frank Gore. Now, I think you care about this stuff, so you're worth it. Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer?
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah. You get that many yards, play that long, I got to put Frank Gore in the Hall of Fame. Like, his longevity alone of stacking good seasons is pretty impressive. It really is.
Like, never, probably, was he at any point in his career one of the five best players at his position? He was never the best running back in the NFL at any point in his career.
Yeah, probably
not. Was he ever top five?
He had to be top five. Let me just bring up some of his stats here where my guy Frank was rumbling. I mean, you look at all the, he has 16,000 like, career yards. Like, how many, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. He had 9,000-yard-plus seasons. That's outrageous. You have 9,000-yard
receivers. It's tough to figure out. What is the highest he finished in a season rushing-wise? You, like, relative to the rest of the league. Was it that sophomore year with 1,600?
16, almost 1,700. He had to lead the league, right? Or was that one of those years where, like, Larry Johnson went nuts?
No. I don't think he ever led the league.
He didn't lead with 1,695. Was that, like, you know, a CJ2K type year? Like, let me see. I guess StatMuse would have that, right? Who would have that? 2006 NFL rushing leaders.
I'm working on it myself, I think.
Let's see here.
Was that year by year top 10? Oh, they don't have it. Man.
I don't think that was 2006 that I tapped him for, was it? No, it looks like it's just listing the all time leaders. But Kevin, he's third all time. Oh, he did? He's third all time in rushing yards. You got to be in. If you're third all time as a running back in rushing yards, don't you have to be in?
He never led the NFL in rushing yards. Now, again, I'm not telling you that that is.
Yeah.
And because nobody says Frank Gore is the best running back of all time. Nobody really says he's a top five running back of all time. So, again, I understand, right? I understand. Yeah. But I'm just saying it is interesting because he never led in rushing yards. I don't think he ever led in rushing touchdowns. He just doesn't have a resume. Basically, he doesn't have a single season that pops off the way these other guys probably do. Like, he has one 10-touchdown season, rushing touchdown season. One.
Yeah.
That's not a lot. I mean, that's just not.
And also, how much, let me see, rushing touchdowns, he is, how far down is he? He's pretty far. He's got 81 rushing touchdowns, so it looks like he's top 20 in that respect. But, running backs aren't really
good.
Running backs don't really gauge on, like, touchdown carries. You know what I mean? They're usually like, hey, what's a running back do? He runs. A quarterback throws touchdown passes or how many yards that he gets.
No.
He's in. He's in.
I got to say, though, you're covering for his 81 touchdowns a little. I mean, Derrick Henry's at 65 in six seasons, and he spent one of them half of it. I mean, Donnie, Derrick Henry basically, if he finished out this year, by next season would have jumped Frank Gore for touchdowns. And I'm not even arguing really against Frank Gore, but
I mean, Edgerrin's in the Hall of Fame, right? He's got 80 touchdowns in what, 1,200 yards rushing or 12,000 yards rushing?
Well, but that's the thing, right? So that's kind of, it's the peak versus longevity thing, right? I think Edge led the NFL in rushing yards multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but there is something about still being able to hang around and say, okay, I was great and I made enough money, now I'm out. Where other guys are still going to stick around and play. So it's interesting to me, but the fact is, I haven't really followed, like, where's Frank Gore wind up? Like, when you ask me that question, it's like, yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer. And then when I just see, okay, he's third all time in rushing, he can't keep that guy. It's like, you know, T.O. was like third all time, in touchdowns receiving or yardage? Oh, we're not going to put that guy in.
Yeah, that stuff was always ridiculous. And by the way, I do think there is something to not just longevity, but at that position and really doing it in an era where they were discarding the running backs with such ease. I think I would side with you ultimately on a Frank Gore. I think he's one of the more interesting guys when it comes to Hall of Fame debates. Like, because sometimes I don't find that stuff super, super interesting. Again, I just think but he's not a first ballot. But look, you're a Hall of Famer or you're not. Gore's one of those guys that I actually think is a little interesting.
It's hard to make the NFL Hall of Fame. But by the way, I'm seeing a trend, which it shouldn't matter to me, but somehow it does. Like, I'm not in the NFL Hall of Fame, right? I didn't even play pro sports or even come close to that. But I feel like I need to defend the Hall of Fame at times, saying, you know what a Hall of Famer is when you watch him. One of the greatest of all time. And the thing that I'm starting to see more and more now is this bogus addition to the Hall of Fame, where you can be up for Hall of Fame votes for 20 years and never get in, and then you have this veterans committee that goes, nah, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, if I can't look right at a player and say to myself, he's a Hall of Famer within a year or two, it's okay. You were probably a very good football player or baseball player, but you're not a Hall of Famer. Like, the watering down of the Hall of Fame is kind of odd to me at a point, because it's so hard typically to make it in, and it just seems like guys are getting in because, oh, man, he waited 20 years to get in. And if you got to wait 20 years to get a job or get in the Hall of Fame, you're obviously, I mean, I can't say you're not that good at your job. Obviously, if you're up for a Hall of Fame worthiness, you're certainly very good, but at the same time, come on, man. Have some sanctity in the Hall of Fame and what it actually means.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously 2 decades is a while. I used to almost be like, I don't understand, why can't we get this right the first time? But what you do realize is there's a lot of people that have say, not everybody, but like, you almost like, they get swayed because they don't even do the level of, I mean, there's guys who don't even look at people that have their first time on the ballot because they just can't be bothered.
Yep, or I don't like this guy, he can't get in the hall. Stick with us on Moneyline. We're coming right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin. One more quick list here before we hit this NBA card, because I got some plays. I need a bounce back day yesterday. Disgraceful. Disgraceful performances all over the place, including Jay Crowder, who I disgraced for quite a bit part of the season, and then he finally sold me, and he goes, yeah, I got you. We're going to win this game. I got to make sure I tank my own statistics by only scoring 3 points. But having said that, so let's go on around. Best days of the NFL year ranked. Now, there's a lot of them here, so you can, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, divisional round, Thanksgiving, wild card Sunday. My favorite weekend of the entire season, typically for me, is divisional round. It really is.
Yeah.
The big boys come
that?
To play.
Four total games, two games Saturday, two games Sunday. Is that what you're looking at there for the divisional round?
Correct. It's my favorite weekend of the year because the heavyweights are in play against really good football teams that already picked up a win in the playoffs. Now, if somebody wants to say, I like wild card weekend, I like championship Sunday because, you know, the final four essentially, I'll be with that. But I got to tell you, the most overrated week of the year, Kevin, or game, whatever, day, Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday.
No.
Because the season's over.
Get down with
yep.
That.
Season's over.
No.
Why
no.
am I excited?
No one's
if my team's not, why am I excited? I'm thinking. I'm absolutely thinking that. Way down the list.
Get
give me championship Sunday, divisional round, wild card. Give me the schedule release above that.
And the clock is a countdown when the season is over. Oh my good.
Give me the schedule release.
I mean, I'm a little worried about you. I mean, is your view that negative on life?
Yeah.
It's the Super Bowl, and all you can think about is there's not another game after. That's ridiculous. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that for 1 second. This is what I don't know how you have this ability, man.
Super Bowl Sunday, now, way down.
Like,
way down.
I would say 7.5 out of 10 times, Donnie delivers a good take. But those 2.5 times, they're just the worst takes you'll ever hear, man. That doesn't make any sense. Super Bowl Sunday is the most overrated day because all you can think about on Super Bowl Sunday is how the season is over. Oh, live a little. Have a cocktail.
How's I mean, like, rain? And you're also talking about Super Bowl week, like waking up at midnight to start your day. That factors in the Super Bowl. So just to let you know out here, it really does.
What do you mean?
There's no relaxing.
Yeah, start you got to wake up. Day.
Exactly. I got to wake up at midnight. Yeah, and I'm going to probably be doing it next year as well. So Super Bowl downgrades coming along here at this point, pal.
That's a whole nother ball.
That factors in. It does.
Now, I'll tell you what you can, though, absolutely call overrated, though. Is the week in between the Super Bowl being set and the Super Bowl itself, where I gotta tell everybody that this is the most excited I've ever been for a football game in my life, 2 weeks worth. Excited. Maybe a little too much though. If you need me, 13 days out, I can't believe. I mean, you get excited the day after, but down like that Wednesday. Man, I gotta break down. I gotta do something else here. Can I talk about the NBA slate? Anybody want some NHL picks? I gotta do something.
What, you don't like? Half point movement on the big game about a week and a half out. You don't like that?
Yeah, I mean, alarms. The Bengals have moved to 4 at one book that probably only did it just so people would recognize.
Rick Haro breaking into live coverage because there's a half point movement there.
Sure.
That's the way it happens here. All right, here we go. Phone lines lighting up once again. If you want to join the show, 844-843-6879. We're going to Michigan, KW. And Bill wants to talk maybe about a specific pitcher. Let's hear it, Bill. What do we got today?
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
What's up, Bill?
I watched some highlights. Of kid named George Kirby, Seattle Mariners. He threw seven strikeouts, 6 hits, 0 walks, 81 pitches. His first start last Sunday against Tampa Bay. Look, stuff was electric. What are your thoughts, Donnie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, he's actually had, because I'm just bringing him up right now, and you want to take a look at a major league debut. That's how you certainly debut. But this doesn't come as a surprise here. Like, he started in single A back in 2019. We're talking here, Bill, XFIPs of 210, 307, 362, and 353 throughout minor league baseball. And you're also talking about ERAs, 235, 238, 277, and 182. Now, when you are a talented pitcher and handling your business here in the, single A, double A realm, once you get to major league baseball, you probably have pretty good stuff, Bill. And that's one thing you can lean on until you get a book against you. It's almost like a hot hitter coming up out and say, well, we don't know, he can't deal with the fastball yet because he's hitting all over the place, but once it starts to settle in, factoring in a pitcher of that caliber, you might be able to get some sneaky success over his first 2 or 3 starts while this guy's in the major leagues here, Bill.
Next start is Saturday at Citi Field against the Mets. I think his opponent's going to be Chris Bassett.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. So then that one immediately for me, you know what I'm looking at? An under in that environment. Haven't seen the kid just yet. Bassett's a good pitcher. We know Seattle outside of last night has basically struggled at the plate this year. So I would look towards an under in that type of environment, depending on, though, K-Dub, if we get 80-degree temperatures this week, heat up those ballparks.
Look, the weather's going to matter. I'll just tell you this, Bill, right? We always talk about use all your resources. I'm not sure if you're, a fan of just kind of the kid coming up, fantasy perspective or betting perspective. But whenever I know this for me, Donnie, whenever these young kids come flying up through the minors, I look to the fantasy guys because they know every single kid in AAA that's supposed to get called up because they've all stashed them away on all of their rosters. So, you do quick research there on George Kirby. They all go, must add. Not surprising, high-level prospect. He's really good. So I tell you this, Bill, the people that, that need to know or the people that already knew George Kirby, they weren't surprised either by how he started his Major League Baseball career.
That's
By the way, I do wager, right?
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
By the way, I listen to you guys every day play your baseball picks because I know absolutely nothing about how to make a dollar bet in baseball. It is a nightmare. The horror stories, you always remember those, man. You remember those way too much. But what's the minimum I should take if I want to take Bassett on the action, the spread? Plus 160?
It's whatever you're comfortable with. Now, Bassett's probably going to be what? A run line, I guess? what would he be, I guess, on he's probably going to be a pretty heavy favorite. So run line, would he be looking at slightly plus money there, K-Dub, on Saturday? If you're lining up the Mets at home?
Give me a bounce here. Let me see what this kid was listed at in his first game, because that'll give us an indication, right? I mean, look, you can kind of – it was the first time for the books kind of posting him, obviously, right? So that's going to play a factor. So he went out there, what, against Tampa Bay for six Eighth. Innings of work, mm-hmm. Which is a good kind of test case. They were in Seattle, and the game was pick, and the opposing pitcher was Yarbrough, who's having a horrible season. So it was in Seattle. I mean, he got a little bit of respect here. Bassett is still not, I mean, look, it's not Scherzer. It's not the Grom. You made me guess. I'm thinking it's Mets minus 175. You made me guess right now. I'm guessing the Mets are minus 175, which means if you want to do run line, you're not talking crazy juice any direction, right? The Mets minus a run and a half could be anywhere from even money to minus 110, minus 115. So, again, if you look at the Seattle side of it, you flip it around. You would anticipate the seven. Obviously, it's going to depend on that weather a lot, though. Could get to seven and a hook.
There you go. All right. Nice call there, Bill. Talking pitchers here on Moneyline on a Wednesday. We take all calls here. All, you know, Virginia, Michigan, the Big Apple in New York. We take it all, Kevin.
I'll tell you, too. One of my favorite things to do is play line maker, though. Like, now I'm excited for whatever the heck they post that game.
Now you got to watch. Now you got to get out to Citi Field. Yep. You got me, Big Mets. You're like, living in Queens, so, Big Mets fans. You got to get there, right?
Like, Donnie, if they hang the Mets at minus 220, my model shows value, right? All of a sudden now, and I got to bet the Mariners.
Exactly. Like, it's a blind bet at that point. Yeah, like, when your model says, like, what the numbers are, you got to roll with it. And by the way, the prospect here that we're talking about, Kirby, here's what it says. There isn't a prospect in the minors better at throwing strikes than Kirby. There you go. Filling up the strikes on here. Not walking very many batters. 6'4", 200-pounder. So a little lanky, guy out there, I guess.
Look,
all right.
Can I just throw this in there quick?
Go, throw it.
There's so many aspects of Angels Rays we got to.
Yeah.
You imagine the guy that had Reed Detmers over strikeout prop. That kid threw a no-hitter.
Oh, my goodness.
And he sat there with two.
Yeah, what did he do? He went nine innings through a no-hitter. Oh, man, he's probably at 10 Ks. Like, he was sitting them down left and right.
Yeah, I mean,
what are the odds on that, too? You bring up a good point here. If there's a stat that you can actually look up, no-hitter with the least amount of strikeouts, that's got to be there. It's got to be right up there. Because a no-hitter means you're dealing. Like, usually you can't touch me, right? Yeah.
Yes. Let's see if we could type it in here. Because, like Don, we said it, like, 25 of the recorded 27 outs were balls in play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe a couple foul pop-ups, this, that, and the third. I got you there. But, I mean, what, that's what, BABIP, Donnie? I mean, what kind of BABIP is that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, that's just, you need a lot of luck. If all the balls are going in play, you're hitting them right at people and your guys are playing great defense, which is crazy. Usually it's he had 16 Ks in a no-hitter because there's barely any chances that you can get a base hit unless the ball is in play. So it's pretty fascinating to bring that up. But we do have two games here that we are going to take a look at in the NBA once we get after this break. The odds boost we take a look at already. Tatum to score 25 and a Celtics win, plus 150. But tonight, main events on the card. 7 o'clock, Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks. 9:30, Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. Those lines currently, Bucks getting 5.5. Warriors minus 4 here on the road. Is it another night for the home teams, or do the road teams show up and get a W? Stay with us, Radio Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To the money line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Come on, let's get it popping. Moneyline. Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, Donnie Wrightside here along with Kevin Walsh. Time to make some decisions. And I did make a decision in this game, Kevin. I do think the Boston Celtics win this game, but I am going to lean on Drew Holiday in this game. I am going to lean on his over 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists at a minus 122, which it was. I didn't check now what it is, but that was I want to say about maybe 2.5, 3 hours ago, I did play that. I think Drew has a big game. And if I'm going to get his usage rate, Kevin, of what he had anywhere similar to his previous game, or games, I should say, 22 field goal attempts, 30, 20, 20, I'll take it. You tell me right now tonight, Donnie Drew Holiday takes 20 shots, I'm in. Give me it. Give me it. Because I know the assists and the rebounds will be there.
For me, there were two bets. We'll get to Memphis Golden State. Points props that jumped out where if I can cash a bet while you play poorly, what a treat. Because maybe you won't play poorly. Drew Holiday is very much so due for a game where he can shoot it at 50% from the field. Like, I got to tell you, folks, if you want to sprinkle, if that's how you like to play, I'm not mad at you sprinkling Drew Holiday for 30. I'm not. Like, he's shooting the ball 30 times a game. What if the guy gets hot from three? Maybe climb the ladder on his three-point shots. I mean, is he still, is he posted at 1.5? Is he posted at 2.5? What if he makes 4 threes tonight, right? Right? Like, Drew Holiday.
1.5 minus 200.
Right. Okay. So, but what's he to make three? Is it, are you getting 2-1 maybe?
To make three plus 166.
That's not enough. These splits are garbage. I can't call it any other way. Got to call it like you see it. Splits are garbage. But for me, Drew makes all the sense in the world because he's still, even if he's not number two, he's still a good enough player where he should be able to at some point find the efficiency that has lost him all series long.
Makes sense. It does. It really does. I'm trying to figure out a way to play this, though. Because I actually do think the Celtics win this game. And I know you're, like, talking about the under, which I do think makes some sense as well. Later in the playoff series, maybe not as loose play as you would get in, like, games one or two where you actually have a legitimate closeout type of situation or some team's going to try to take the lead here. I do think it's going to be a closer game. I still think the Boston Celtics win this by margin. Like, if the Celtics are going to win, I sure could be 103-101. I understand that. But I can't take this game knowing that home teams have been kicking butt lately. And I'm just going to let it could be a little bit different tonight. Now, you do have stars, obviously, that can straight up dominate on both sides tonight. You really can. You expect Giannis to do that. You know, maybe Drew Holiday does step up. Portis actually shows a heartbeat tonight and maybe makes a three or two. But if you're looking from a perspective of the Celtics, home court advantage, fans fired up, and momentum coming after game four, I just think it all builds up, and I think the Celtics can hold serve tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, so here's the oddity, right? Home teams are perfect against the number in the Suns-Mavs series, Heat-Sixers series. The only cover for a road team came, and this is with Golden State taking a road game, by the way, came for Memphis, who was catching 10 because Ja Morant was out in their loss versus Golden State, right? So three series, Donnie, right? And you're sitting at a total of 14 basketball games, 13-1 for home teams against the number. And then there's Boston and Milwaukee, which has just been a mixed match, give back and forth kind of thing, which has been all over the map here. It really has. That's why I can see Milwaukee keeping this close. This series has been played tight to the vest. But I also, and I don't know, am I disrespecting Boston's home court here? Because I think it might be tough for them to beat Milwaukee twice. You know, it just feels like that kind of a series to me right now, where it's going to be tough to win two in a row. Like, I know Boston's in the driver's seat because they have home court, but Milwaukee has obviously the benefit of the fact that they took that first game.
Yeah, they know it, too. It's not like you're going back, hey, man, last couple times we went down here, we got pushed. Like, we got ran off the court. We couldn't take it. They won that game one there, fair and square. And then game two obviously turned around to the Celtics in a must-win situation. But this has been a relatively close series all the way through. You figure it would translate, but I'm just looking, you know, it's hard to go against trends like the home teams are absolutely rocking the away teams, and we're not in a closeout game. And the reason I bring that up is if you're looking at a 2-2 environment, is it the end of the world if you go on the road and lose to the Celtics in your own building? Because, yes, there is some pressure. Yes, you want to win this game so you can close out in game six, but you're not in that realm of if we lose tonight, we don't play anymore. And I think that might play in a little bit here.
Yeah, look, this Celtics team, okay, This Celtics core had a series like this not that long ago. Up against LeBron, it was 2-2 through 4. Home teams had been protecting home court, unlike this one. Boston won game number 5, went to Cleveland. They got LeBroned, but everybody said, don't worry, you're going back to Boston now. And they got LeBroned again. And this is something I've been talking about here on this, you know, we've had this space here on this radio show to talk about. They are running up against the best player in the NBA. I don't really know anybody out there that's actually pushing an opposite narrative, by the way, at this point. If you were to poll people who's the best player in the NBA, Giannis is walking away. Donnie, like if you said an over-under 100 out of 100 percentage points, Giannis is walking away over probably 85% of those votes. That is what stands in front of Boston. Sometimes the NBA is that simple. I'm the best player, and it matters that much.
Yeah, you're right. And how about this? I think it was 51.5 points, rebounds, and assists this morning. I want to say it's 52.5 at a -115. You look at that and say, yeah, he can get there. And then you try to break it down, what that actually means, like 30, 15, and 5, and that loses. It's pretty incredible. It really is.
I mean, his numbers this series, what is it, 32, 12, and 8? Is that what it is? Is it more? Am I
downplaying it? Outrageous. It's really outrageous.
He's got outrageous, is right? He's checking up, and he's one of, if not the best defensive players in the entire NBA, on top of all of that. I mean, he's the guy. He's the guy. They do miss Middleton, though. We saw that, I thought, in Milwaukee. Even in the game that they won, they do miss Middleton. We've been able to downplay it a little bit, I think, because they were playing Chicago. They took one in Boston. But that's not going to change. They're going to continue to miss Middleton. And that is why I still think Milwaukee, you made me ask, I still think Milwaukee wins the series here. But I'm more open to the idea that it is Boston, even if the Boston prices are ridiculous in the futures market.
Yeah, we'll find out tonight here. Quick update on the Major League Baseball card. Reds 8-4 over the Brewers. That's in the 6th inning. Yankees 5-2 over the Toronto Blue Jays, 7th inning. And the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-0 over the Los Angeles Dodgers today. So that one's an interesting pop-up. Let's take a look at game number 2 tonight in the NBA. 9:30 tip time. Golden State Warriors -4-point favorites here. A 218.5 total. I did not play a side. I did not play a total in this game, but we talked about it in the early line. I thought it makes some sense, and I do have a little bit of CLV in my pocket. I'm going with Tyus Jones tonight. He's listed currently right now at 14.5 at a -110. Earlier today, he was 13.5 at a -122, and it's simple for me, Kevin. Again, it's just about usage rate, what I'm getting with guys out of the lineup, particularly John Morant. A guy that's used to playing 15 minutes a game is now playing 40 minutes a game. A guy that's used to shooting 5, 6, 7 times a game, shooting 18 times a game right now. And even if you went points, rebounds, and assists, because last game, 19, 6, and 5, he probably hits that total, but I'm just going to take the easy way out. Tyus to get me 14 points or more, I'll take it. That's where I'm going tonight in this one.
Yeah, look, I like a Grizzly as well. I like Jaren Jackson Jr., though. Tyus is the obvious replacement, and it makes
a lot
like of
pick.
Sense. But I think the Jaren Jackson Jr. one maybe is the sneaky one at 17.5. Last game scored 21 on 7 of 21 shooting, 0 of 7 from 3. Love that he's coming back from Memphis. When I talk about Jrue Holiday, love that he hit it dirty. Now we can hit it clean. This guy goes out there, hits 4 threes. I mean, you're exactly where you need to be. And it might just happen that way. I have no problem getting involved with his 3-point player prop if you'd like as well. I believe 2.5. It's some very real plus money. All of that can line up. All of that can line up here today for Jaren Jackson Jr. It's funny. The one thing I haven't decided is if I want to play the full total or the Memphis team total. It's the only thing I haven't decided yet for tonight's basketball game.
Let's see what's so Draymond is listed at 7.5 as a points prop +112. Let me just do a quick back check here on what Draymond's been doing on offense in this series. How about this? First game, 6 points. Second game, 6 points. Third game, 5 points. Fourth game, 2 points. So he hasn't even got to 8 points in this series yet. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a starter, a guy that people talk about going to the Hall of Fame, that doesn't do anything on offense whatsoever, but set picks and stay at the top to make sure he gets. And also, you're talking about assist numbers. He does have some decent ones, 7, 8, and 5 in the last couple of games. But my God, it's wild, and he fits perfectly on Golden State. Everybody else, I'll do the dirty work for everybody. You guys score. Don't worry about me over here.
Yeah, it's like, what are you playing if you're betting? If you're betting Draymond, are you betting like steals plus blocks props? Right, like is that what you're getting after when it comes
technicals.
To like Donnie what are his steals plus blocks numbers? If you have, you seem to have his numbers up there during the series.
All right, let's see here. So, for the series itself, I actually don't have those up.
Yeah,
I just have,
okay, yeah.
Points. Yeah, I don't have that the stat number up there. Let me bring it up. I can bring it up here in just a second. Let's check here, Draymond. So what are you looking at?
Just like Draymond from an assist, or rather a steals and a blocks perspective there, because I think Draymond, they hang those. Like now that you're into the postseason, we know that's how he's kind of impacting the game maybe a little bit more here. I just pulled it up here. So he's got a block in every game, three straight games without a steal, but he had 3 steals in game number 1. That stuff is probably probably fluky, right?
Yeah, blocking every game, steals. He actually hasn't had a steal since what? Game one. Yeah.
This is interesting.
Like, 5 fouls twice.
Like, can you find that? Like, that's got to be out there somewhere, though, right? Like, I'm not just
for
making
what?
That up.
What?
Like, blocks plus steals? I think that's a thing. Hold on. Here it is, DraftKings.
DraftKings got it? Yeah, they got a lot of stuff.
2.5 at plus 100. So he's actually been under in 3 straight games.
That's a pretty interesting one, though. I would lean towards the over. It sounds so low, right? Like you're just going to walk into something like that. Everybody's listed at basically 1.5. Jaren Jackson is 2.5 with juice.
Which, for the over, Jaren Jackson? Wow.
Yeah.
That's 165.
Yep. They expect big things. Big things.
Ah. Can I get points plus steals plus blocks, please? Maybe a little bit of value. How about
that? That's what you're when you're looking at, you know, steals and blocks as opposed to anything else. That's great stuff. You want to talk about being in it to the very end of the game when you got to go over 1.5 combined steals and blocks.
Sure.
It's funny too because you go, it's 1.5, right? So okay, goes up, block, goes up again, block. Oh, you won. Well, how much time's left? 3/4. Congratulations. Sensational stuff here. That's what we look for. We look for the value on Moneyline, and that's what we do. A short segment coming up. Where we tidy up the ship here, make sure you got the picks you need to go into the night NBA victor, or maybe the afternoon with this Phillies Mariners game. Donnie and Kevin, stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here on a Wednesday, Moneyline Sports Grid Network. It's time for some picks. And I know there's a deep breath. What are you deep breathing over here? Why?
Kyrie Irving on Twitch.
You see what you
these
got?
Complaints
no.
of people who complaining to him that he wasn't cashing like the props on him. But here's what I liked. Here's what I liked about it, okay? He goes, oh, man, you bum. You couldn't hit my 22.5. Oh, come on, Kyrie. You couldn't score 29 tonight. Those are so specific, Donnie, that those are legitimately being set. Like, not that I doubted that people would send it to him, but you know how, like, you would almost expect a player, oh, come on, Kyrie. You couldn't score 30 for me tonight. Oh, come on, Kyrie. You couldn't go out there and win the game. You know what I mean? Like, no. He's giving you the specifics because it sticks. You know what I mean? Like 29, Donnie? Because Donnie, they were hanging his number 28.5.
Yep. Come on. You couldn't make 2 threes. You couldn't get 9 assists for me last night. You bum out in the market. I like it. Put the pressure on these athletes, right? Put the pressure. There's a lot of money to be had out here. You got to perform up to your finest. Hold on. Did anybody send him thank you for not scoring 29 points in the last game? That would have been impressive.
It's funny.
That's
those
impressive.
Tweets don't get – be like, hey, man, I just want to shout out to all the guys that had my under, man. Like, imagine he's like, oh, you guys keep complaining that I can't get 8.5, you know, over 8.5 rebounds plus assists. I mean, will you get that? Like, yeah. You know, it's just such a specific complaint. I couldn't help but laugh.
Like, I know there was an odds boost last night for my points, rebounds, and assists. Yes! I did not get there. That was impressive. Like,
well,
I got you.
Mad at me because I ruined the Tatum, Kyrie, KD boost.
Yep. And if he comes out, he goes, next time I see that odds boost, I'll make sure we take it down. Woo, the people in the streets be running, flooding the sports books at this point here. Quickly, I got Jrue Holiday tonight over 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Tyus Jones over 13.5 points at a minus 122. And the Mariners team total over 3.5 at a minus 135. Kev, Harry.
Danhausen over Tony Nese. I got Tony Storm over Jamie Hayter. You want me to run through this AW card, Donnie?
Real Britt Baker takes it tonight, and we'll see you guys tomorrow right here on Moneyline.